chapter 3 in a couple of weeks, but we wanted to do something else in the meantime. Don Tarbett has been in private business for a number of years, but he's always been a diligent student of the Word, and thus on demand in lectureships. I was reading his chapter on 2 Peter chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago, and it was for the Southwest School in 1987. And he was lecturing on this chapter in Austin, Texas. The idea of the three E's that we talked about last week from chapter 2 and verse 20 were actually his. It's clearly in the text, but he's the first one I've noticed to actually call attention to it. The fact that those who have escaped from sin can become entangled in it again, and the latter end for them is worse than the beginning. Also, it's Brother Tarbett's idea, and he listed eight roots of apostasy in the chapter that he wrote, and we'd like to be covering that today and, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, the four today and four then. Since it is the case that people did become entangled again with what they had escaped from, and since it is the truth that many are either still compromising or leaving the faith altogether, we would do well to ask why. Why is it that people are departing from the faith? There may be many more answers than that which we will discuss this morning and next Sunday morning, but we want to discuss what seem to genuinely be causes of apostasy. But before we get to that, we'd like to say a few words about the word apostasy itself. It does not appear in the English in the Bible, but the Greek word apostasia, and of course you can see that the word apostasy just transliterates that word. That word does appear twice in the Greek text. The first one of those is from Acts chapter 21, verses 20 and 21. So let's see how the word was used there. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law." This is being said to Paul upon his arrival in Jerusalem. "But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses." That's the word apostasy. "To forsake Moses, saying that they ought to not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs." Now, that word is translated forsake, as we noted, or sometimes depart. But as Paul preached Christianity, it was necessary to explain that we are under a new covenant and that we are no longer under the old covenant of the law of Moses. So to the Jews in general, and to some Jews who had become Christians, that was apostasy. That was falling away. That was a departure from the teaching of Moses. And so to them, Christians could be considered apostates. Christians were forsaking the law. Now, the other instance where we find this word in the New Testament is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, which we just discussed a few weeks ago in Bible class. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, we read, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. There, apostasia is translated the falling away. And this prophecy is of apostasy from Christianity. This is not forecasting some individuals falling away like we're dealing with in 2 Peter chapter 2. This predicts a massive brotherhood-wide apostasy in which most will fall away. Now, just as, and by the way, we don't have time to consider all that text of 2 Thessalonians 2 this morning. We've already discussed it in class. But just as a side note, there is a related word, apostasion, which is used by Jesus 3 times and is translated writing of divorcement in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31. In other words, the husband and the wife depart from each other. Now, the word apostasia derives from the Greek word aphistemi, a verb used 15 times in the New Testament, and it too usually is translated as depart. It can mean depart in just an ordinary sense of two people going their separate ways. But there are 5 verses of note among those 15 that we'd like to notice. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, Jesus says, But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those who have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. That's how some become apostates. In time of temptation, they fall away. Next, we want to look at Hebrews 3:13. There is a warning there that we should exhort one another, lest we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so there is a turning away from the Lord in that situation. And then another one is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5 for the 4th one of these that's used in the same sense we're discussing here. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul warns against useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourselves. Withdraw. Separate. Depart from those. And so that would be used as a matter of withdrawing fellowship from men of that kind. But the ultimate withdrawal of fellowship is found back in Luke again, this time chapter 13 and verse 27. Luke chapter 13 and verse 27, notice the sobering words of the Lord in this text. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Depart from me. And so that's the basic meaning of the word from which apostasia comes from. And it's not only in that word, it's also in apostasia as well. So, What have we seen then? We have seen that those who depart from the faith, we are to depart from them. And ultimately, Jesus will make them depart from him eternally. So this is a serious matter. Therefore, we want to ask, what are some of those roots of apostasy? We know certain things from what we've already seen, that people allow themselves to be deceived, that sometimes there are evil motives involved in all of that. But what causes people to depart? Well, we're going to begin then with the first of eight things. And the first of these is a lack of knowledge. It's hard to forget that Hosea wrote this in the Old Testament, isn't it? For my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That does not mean they had never been taught. That may mean that they were forgetful or were not all that interested in being taught. But whatever the reason, there was a lack of knowledge. And by the way, that's why Peter emphasizes this in throughout the book of 2 Peter. Notice in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, according as his divine knowledge has given us unto all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so knowledge is a prominent ingredient of what we find the Christian needs in order to escape and in order to remain escaped from the world. This is one thing that is to be added in the very next verse. But for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. It can't be stressed too often. And so two times in three verses, Peter mentions that. And by the way, as he closes the letter in chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So we find the importance then of knowledge. According to a survey conducted in 2012, only 19% of churchgoers read the Bible on a daily basis. This is not the general population. This is among people who attend worship each week. Only 19% call themselves churchgoers and are reading the Bible each day. The Barna Group reports that 80% of Americans own a Bible. 61% say they wish they read it more. When asked about American society, 77% of people confess they think the values and morals of America are declining. Could there be a deficiency of knowledge here? So you escape corruption. You partake of the divine nature. Knowledge helps keep you from departing, apostatizing from the faith. And so growth, as we already noticed in 2 Peter 3:18, is a responsibility of the Christian. So lack of knowledge is one thing that will lead to apostasy. Now, the second thing is lack of faith. Lack of faith. all of the virtues that Peter describes in chapter 1 are to be added to faith. Faith is foundational. These things will prevent apostasy. In case you might have forgotten those things, let's go back to verses 8 through 11 in the first chapter. After listing the things to be added to faith, Peter writes, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So faith is foundational. All these other things need to be added to faith. These things will help prevent then apostasy. Once again, faith is built by our getting to know the truth. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. That is not only to know the truth, but the truth that is found in the Word of God. And I commend you to God and His grace and to His Word, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Third, not only a lack of knowledge and a lack of faith causes people to depart from the faith, so does a lack of love. It is true that love is the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40, Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first and great commandment." And of course, the second like unto it is love your neighbor as yourself. But not only is it a commandment, it is a natural response for what God has done for us. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. In Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, Paul writes these words, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that ought to provoke love in return, as John says it does in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." So it is a commandment, but it is also the kind of natural response that there ought to be on part of those who have received the love of God. Some people have shown more gratitude on earth for someone saving them financially or physically than some Christians show to their Savior, who has saved them from their sins and eternal condemnation. Now, this love of God must also include love for His Word. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." What were those statistics again about people not reading the Bible? Where is the love for God expressed by the love of the Word He has revealed to us? Why is it that Fewer people come to Bible study than to worship. Is there no love of the Word? Do we not realize that we need the Word, that we need the knowledge that is in the Word, that we need the truth that is in the Word? Why would someone not want to study the Word? If we are going to love God, we must love what He has revealed to us in His Word as well. Is there a love problem with God and His Word? Most of those who do not study the Word do not serve either. They attend, but they're not involved in the family. They're not involved in service. There is a lack of love, and that leads to apostasy. You know, when people start falling away, they don't just usually quit coming. Usually they quit coming Wednesday nights for Bible study. They quit coming Sunday mornings for Bible study. And the next thing is they're not here at all. That lack of love is being shown. It's being visible. And it just continues to grow worse until people fall away and depart altogether. A lack of love. That's one of the roots of falling away. Then number four, God gave His people instructions concerning the Passover in Deuteronomy 16:3. What we're talking about here is a lack of remembrance. And by the way, if you have time, take a concordance or use a computer program and look up all the times that God told Israel to remember what He had done for them. It should keep the love of God fresh in our minds when we do this. And so here is just one example that we could find of the many that exist. Let's go back and take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 3 and see what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. God wanted them to remember the deliverance that He had provided for them. Thus, the Passover was instituted that they might remember it. Maybe they departed into idolatry because they quit remembering their deliverance. Let's take a look at a couple of passages of Scripture that deal with this very quickly from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 5. So they resolved to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover to the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, since they had not done it for a long time in the prescribed manner. Now think about that. We're at a point in the 600s, almost to the 500s B.C. The law of Moses was given around 1450. So it's been about 800 years, but they had not been observing the Passover as they should have in the prescribed manner for a long time. Is that what kept them, didn't keep them where they needed to be and allowed them to worship idols and the source of all their problems? Let's go to chapter 35. And verse 18, and this is during the reign of the last good king of Israel, Josiah, or Judah, actually, as it was mainly called then. In verse 18, there had been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet. And none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as Josiah kept, with the priests and the Levites, all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So Josiah died about 606 BC, roughly. Samuel was the last prophet, the last judge before King Saul, some 400 years earlier. In 400 years, they had not kept a Passover like this one. You see why God put all of those things in the law to remember, remember, remember? But they forgot. A lack of remembrance leads to apostasy. If we do not remember as we ought, remember the day you were delivered from your sins? You remember that? You remember how you felt when that occurred, when you repented of them, when you were baptized, when you knew that they had been washed away? We need to remember that. And likewise, we need to remember our deliverance each Lord's Day. Probably the passage most often referred to at the time of the Lord's Supper is this one from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord, Paul writes, that which I also delivered you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." How many people are not remembering Christ as they ought? This is one of the causes of falling away. If people wake up on Sunday morning and say, it's kind of gloomy out and it's kind of wet, and they say, "I think I'll just stay home," are they remembering what saved them? Are they remembering and honoring their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's not a decision you make on Sunday morning. It's a decision to be here when you obey the gospel. That is a commitment that I will be remembering and honoring my Lord every Lord's Day from henceforth. But not remembering, failing to remember, is going to lead to apostasy, falling away, departure from the faith. The cares and woes of this world pull us in other directions, away from the spiritual. We need constant renewals of mind, constant reminders in our lives. Reading the scriptures daily keeps those reminders before us. Well, we are half through with the eight roots of apostasy. The remedies are to make sure that we do not let these things happen, that we do not have a lack of these things. Knowledge helps considerably, but knowledge by itself is not sufficient, because we can be diverted from what we know fairly easily. A strong and growing faith adds a great deal of confidence. Love must also grow and increase, along with a good memory. However, there are some additional ingredients that need to be added, and Lord willing, we'll take a look at those next Sunday morning. There are those who will lead you astray, and who will help you to fall away. Is that where you really want to be? Astray? Have you obeyed the gospel this morning? Or have you allowed something to stand in your way regarding that? Are you unaware of God's love? These things can all be remedied, but you have to respond to it. You have to be the one who believes. Someone else can't believe for you. It has to be you. You have to repent of your sins. Somebody else can't repent for you. It has to be you. You need to be baptized to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Somebody can't do that for you. It has to be you. It has to be your decision. And then you have to make sure that your commitment is strong enough that you do not allow yourself to be led away, to fall away. Looking unto Jesus always, the author and finisher of our faith. Can we help anyone obey the gospel this morning? If so, we invite you to tell us, and we will prepare immediately for you to be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you have already obeyed, but you have been sliding and getting further, and your love is not strong as it should be, your faith is not as strong as it should be, your remembrance is not what it ought to be, your knowledge is slipping, make sure that you get back where you used to be to continue on your journey of faith toward everlasting life. Can we help you? Let us know while we stand and while we sing.